Good morning. Nice sunshiny day. Everyone get your snow shoveling workout this week? Quite a bit of snow removal going on. This morning we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 and following. In this particular passage of Scripture, Paul presents a team of individuals that he's sending to Corinth to try to oversee the collection of their portion of the offering that's going to go on to Jerusalem to help the needy brothers and sisters in that church in Jerusalem. So, thinking of those people that are going and how Paul represents them in this text, we want to look at how commendable people serving for the glory of the Lord make great ministry teams. It only stands to reason that we'd be talking about ministry teams on Super Bowl Sunday. You can put that next slide up. Yeah. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, the 50th one. That really is the type of thing that makes a guy like me feel old, because I remember the first one. I actually remember when we didn't have them. So it's been a while. But today you have these teams that are going to be competing for the Vince Lombardi Trophy. The NFC's number one seed taking on the AFC's number one seed. That's really a rarity that happens. So should be very interesting. Should be it's either going to be a really delightful afternoon or a very hard one, depending on where you're at. The Carolina Panthers taking on the Denver Broncos. Two notable teams. Two teams that really you think have a lot of quality players. And when you think about watching the Super Bowl and you think about kids watching the Super Bowl and the whole thing of playing football as a kid and watching a big game like that, you look at those things and you kind of aspire to that, at least I did as a little kid. Man, it would be great to one day be able to play football and be in the Super Bowl. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? When you're little, you don't realize the odds of that not happening. You know, you just think there's a possibility this could take place. And then you start playing in the Park and Rec League and realize, it's probably not going to happen. But I think it's an incredible thing. I mean, you look at the orange and blue that's even here this morning. People get excited about this stuff. I mean, this is a great city to be a part of. It could be worse. We could be living in Kansas City. Super Bowl is a big thing. But I want to talk to you today about a team that's even greater. Greater by far, and I think it's somewhat convicting to think of how at times we don't realize how great it is to be part of the team of God's people that he's put together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Commendable people serving for the glory of the Lord make a great ministry team. If we come together with our hearts and minds focused on God's glory, representing him, thinking of all that God has accomplished through the gospel of Jesus Christ for people in need and sin, and Jesus paid the price for their sins so that they could be cleansed and forgiven. We are cleansed and forgiven. We have the privilege of representing that message to other people. We want people to know Christ. We want this message to go on. We want to be used of God to help one another, to support one another, to encourage one another, to commit ourselves personally, physically, and our possessions actively to the advancement of gospel ministry. And we should be excited that we have the privilege of being part of that team. How do you evaluate a team like that? How do you know that a team, a gospel-centered team, is doing well? How do you and I become active participants and members of that team? As we look at this passage, I think God's going to give us some points. They're not complex. They're very simple. It's very easy to understand. We could find ourselves acknowledging that God wants to use us in powerful ways, and that what he wants to accomplish through us as a team on this earth is better than anything else that we could imagine. Being used of God in that capacity would be fantastic. Paul describes this team assembled for Jerusalem and this relief effort that's going on to try to gather this offering. It's a great team that comes together, but it's a great team because they have a great God. And that hasn't changed. Our great God still reigns. He still is magnificent and powerful. CJ, could you just push the preaching lights back there instead of the whole bank, because I'm an old man and it makes it hard for me to see my notes. Thank you so much. Greatly appreciate that. God puts the desire to love and to serve others in the hearts of his people. Chapter 8 and verse 16. He says, "But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. We take this course so that no one should blame us about the generous gift that is being administered by us, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and our boasting about you to these men." God puts the desire to love and to serve others in the hearts of his people. Verse 16, "But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you." God put it in the heart of Titus to have the same zeal, the same passion that Paul had. God did that. God gave it to Paul. God gave it to Titus. So fervency for others and the hope of seeing fervency in others makes Titus a great gospel team member. He's passionate about the gospel. He's excited about what God's doing. And he wants to see that shared with other people. He wants other people to respond to that. So if we want to be a good gospel team member, we need to ask God to give us fervency. And we need to ask God to help us to encourage that fervency in the hearts of other people. So how do we become a fervent gospel servant filled with compassion and concern for other people? How does that happen? How will that take place in yours and my heart and life? Paul says it's God who moves to put that in the heart of his people. God stirred the heart of Titus to deepen and care for the people in the church at Corinth. God put that in his heart to care. God puts it in the hearts of his people to care about his cause and about the lives of other people. This is the work of God. God gave the Apostle Paul a heart of earnest care, and he gave Titus a heart of earnest care. And God is continuing to give people a heart of earnest care for others. God makes gospel team members good gospel team members. It's what he does. We don't have to come to this saying, well, what kind of skills and abilities do I have? God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's empowered you. He's equipped you. He's given everything you need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called you by his own glory and goodness. All of that is yours. You have this power. You have this ability. He said, well, how can I see that realized more effectually in me? Well, I think prayer is a good thing. I think talking to God about this and acknowledging our weaknesses and our struggles and our deficiencies before him. Ask God for a heart that's passionately concerned about others, and ask God to give that heart to other people. We should be saying, I want that kind of heart. And I would really like to see other people in the church have that kind of heart. That should be what we're asking God to do. If God can do it for Paul, if God can do it for Titus, if Paul and Titus want to see that happen in Corinth, do you think God wants to see that happen at Norwood? Absolutely. And he's able. See, we don't have to sit on the sidelines looking at these amazing athletes going, I could never do that. We don't have to go through, you know, the Pee Wee Leagues and everything on up through, you know, junior high and high school to go, I don't really have the skill for this. We just need to look to our God who said, I'm giving you what you need. Everything you need, I provide for you. It's so easy for us to measure ourselves by ourselves. And when we do that type of stuff, we're not being biblically thoughtful. We don't have to be special people. We have to acknowledge we have a special God. Then we can say, thanks be to God who put it in the heart of Mike Hill to be a faithful, inspired, zealous servant. Amen? Thanks be to God who puts it in the heart of Kathy to be a fired up, zealous servant of the Most High God. We could put our names right in there. It's God who gives us this ability. This should be so comforting to us. This is the greatest team that could ever be on the face of this earth. And God's saying, and I'll equip you to be everything I need you to be. I know I'm going to sit down this afternoon and watch that game. And I'm going to stand in awe of those people, and I'll get really excited about that. And I, you know, I'm one of those people. Football's a big thing to me. It has been. But the gospel is bigger by far. Bigger by far. And God is telling us as his children, I'm equipping you. You can be a part of this gospel ministry team in an incredible way. I can put it in your heart. Ask him. Ask him to do that. In verse 17, Paul says, for he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. The evidence of Titus having a heart of love and service for the gospel is that he's open to the appeal to serve, and his heart joyfully responds to the opportunity. This is what we need to be. God, I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to put myself at risk to do this. Was it a risk for Titus? Absolutely. You know, just traveling down the road was a threat to his safety. Going into those churches, there would be people who could absolutely oppose him. He might not be warmly received by all. There's a risk. But he gladly welcomed that opportunity. And he joyfully responded to that. He heard it. He said, I hear the appeal. I'm willing to go. God burdens the hearts of his people, and he empowers their loving sacrifice to advance his gospel cause. So you and I should be open to these appeals. We should be open with hearts filled with faith to anticipate God's activity. God, if you've burdened me to do this, you're going to equip me to accomplish this. Quite honestly, the flesh and the devil don't burden you for gospel ministry. Only God does that. And if God is doing that, and he does that for all of his people, we should listen to that, and we should say, amen. Amen. You don't even have to have a coach to put you in. God's already called you in by his grace. Selfless sacrificial service of others reveals integrity to the glory of the Lord. Selfless sacrificial service of others reveals integrity to the glory of the Lord. Verses 18 and 19. With him, with Titus, we are sending the brother who was famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. He's carrying out this act for the glory of the Lord himself. That is not a small statement. A notable communicator of the gospel with recognized integrity exemplifies this truth, that selfless, sacrificial service of others reveals integrity to the glory of the Lord. Obviously, this individual was a gospel team member. With him, we're sending our brother who is famous among the churches for preaching the gospel. Paul mentions the first of two unnamed men who are eager to go to Corinth to aid in this Jerusalem relief effort. The people in Corinth were so familiar with this gospel communicator that Paul doesn't even mention him by name. And it's always interesting to read commentaries to hear the speculations of who this is. It's got to be Apollos because he was the one with the flowery tongue and he could communicate. We just don't know. We don't know who this was. We know that the Corinthians knew who it was. And that's all we really need to know. Sometimes I think God is intentional in the way he inspires his word so that we don't put big names out in front of people and think, that's not me. I'm not that person. No, we're not. We're who God has made us to be. And he wants to use us as we were made by his masterful grace. His message was consistent wherever he went. He loved and he shared the gospel as a natural part of his life. And shouldn't that be the case with any of us? Paul says he's renowned, he's well known for preaching the gospel. Wouldn't that be a good thing to be known for? You say, so he was like a full-time preacher. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, this is a man that you know. You've been around. You get around him. You get in contact with the reality of gospel truth. He's so much about Jesus. It exudes from him. Humble and dependent followers of Jesus find sweet satisfaction in their souls that joyfully radiates to others. We've been around people like that, haven't we? You're around them and the just their humble dependence on Jesus is so real. It's tangible. You feel it. You connect with it. And you don't make much of them. You make much of the gospel that supports them and builds them up. They're not looking for accolades. They're looking for Jesus to be honored. They are so enamored with the reality of what God has done for them through Christ. It just shines from them. This is men and women alike, and it's a beautiful thing to behold. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. This man's devotion and integrity was well known among the established churches. It just seems like wherever this guy goes, people go, man, this guy's all about Jesus. He's all about the gospel. He's all about what God has done. He has a reputation. Could you be that person? I am absolutely convinced we could all be that person. God wants us to be that person that just exudes that kind of confidence in the reality of God's grace and mercy to us in Christ. And whenever people are around us, we just make much of Jesus. They know they can count on him to be a trustworthy overseer of this offering of benevolence. He was not a man looking for prominence, power, and possessions. He was a selfless servant who loved to shine the glory on Christ. His presence would reinforce the testimony of integrity for this offering that is going to be gathered. This ministry endeavor, as is to be the case with every gospel ministry endeavor, is to make known the glory of the Lord alone. He says, this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. Folks, why are we on this earth? To make known the glory of the Lord. That's why we've been created. That's why we exist, to make much of the Lord God. That's the purpose of the gospel, so that we make much of God's mercy and grace and kindness. That's why we are commanded to be communicators of this gospel, so that we can go around sharing this hope to the glory of God. God ought to be shining out from our lives. The glory of the Lord himself should be coming forth from us consistently. That's why we're here. We're saved and sanctified to make known the brightness of God's infinite majesty. What a privilege! What a privilege! We're here to make known the brilliance, the brightness of God's eternal, majestic glory. What a task! What an incredible thing we have been equipped by God to do. We got to stop sitting on the bench looking around and going, I haven't got it. When God is saying, yes, you do. I've given it to you. You have my son. You have his life. You have his hope. You have the power of the Spirit of God operating within you. Stop selling God short. He's got incredible power. He wants to use you. He wants his name to be exalted in your life. The motives and methods of these men declare the radical transformation of their hearts. What should our hearts represent? The same radical transformation. God has set me free. I'm clean. God sent the Son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that I could be cleansed of my sin and given a new heart to serve God, to love God, to serve people, to love people. That's what God has set us apart to do and to be. May God be exalted. May God be honored. May God be magnified in our lives as we receive that reality, thanking God that he set us apart. How incredible is it that he would call the likes of us out of darkness into his marvelous light? Was it because we're so worthy, so credible? Were we such amazing catches? No. He called us out of his darkness into his marvelous light so it may become so clear that what we are by God's grace and for God's glory alone. That's what we're about. Our God is amazing. Our God is great. He continues to do amazing things. Folks, you've been called by God's purpose. You've been set apart for his purposes. Trust him, believe him, no matter where you are. Whether that's Colorado Springs or some other city, Afghanistan, wherever it may be, God wants to lift up his glory in our lives. We're here for a reason. May that reality of the gospel be the number one thing in our minds and our hearts. The awe and glory of the Lord Man, that's what followers of Jesus are to be all about. No longer are believers man-centered and earthly. They're God-centered for the glory of the eternal gospel. Genuine gospel ministers are lost in the brilliance of Jesus as they minister to others. They're not there trying to make a name for themselves. They're just there trying to make the brilliance and brightness of Jesus known. Good gospel team members live in awe of God, and they joyfully reflect His glory. Maintaining integrity before God and man honors the Lord, verses 20 and 21. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. So a reputation of good character is a vital part of serving the Lord and His people, and it makes somebody a great gospel team member. Having a reputation of good character is a vital part of serving the Lord. We want to have a good reputation. We want to be people who are blameless. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. Paul wants the relief effort for Jerusalem to stay clear of the charges of misuse, impropriety, or pilfering. He wants it to be honorable. Anytime money is involved, the chances of mishandling and misappropriation is possible. We're foolish not to think that that's not true. Wisdom dictates that steps are taken to ensure sound procedures and integrity when dealing with money. Thank God that there are people even in your church that want that to be done well. I thank God for our treasurer, Ken, and our assistant treasurer, Jack, and for Patty and Lynette, who serve as bookkeepers, and they're concerned about doing the right things. I'm thankful for ushers who gather the offerings and are concerned about how they're handled. I'm thankful for a group of elders that care about how this ministry is functioning and that things are done to the honor and glory of God. We're blessed that God's put this in the heart of people, and we should be diligent about these procedures because we want to be blameless. We want to be honorable in the sight of people. Paul says, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men. With a plurality of administrators and with ethical procedures in place and followed, the intent is to remain reputable and honorable. That's what this ministry team that Paul is putting together is accomplishing. Should our reputation matter? Yes, it should. People should know that we're reliable. People should know that we're dependable. People should know that we seek to honor God in all that we do. The desire is to be open and clean before God, who sees and knows all, and before man, who must be openly shown verifiable oversight and solid procedures. Such things serve to protect not only finances, but reputations. The reputations of God's people. Should we, you and I, be concerned as team members of the reputation of God that we bear in our lives? Should we be concerned about the reputation of our church that bears a testimony before God and in this community? Absolutely. It should be our passion to be reputable in the way that we deal with things. All things. The Bible makes it clear, if you're faithful in little, you'll be granted much. If you're not faithful in little things, who's going to entrust great things to your care? Sustained gospel passion through repeated testing reveals confidence in God's grace. Verse 22. And with them, we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his confidence in you. We've seen this brother. He's been tested in a variety of different ways that we've put before him. He's been tested and tried. So the quality of stick-to-itiveness And the hope for stick-to-itiveness in others makes us a good gospel team member. Hanging in there, making it happen, sticking by the stuff. You know, anybody can say, it's easy to get something going. It's harder to stick with it. Because that's when it gets tough. We can have all manner of great ideas. But are we willing to persevere? Hold through when the opposition and difficulties come. So this is another unnamed brother who will accompany the group taking this offering to Jerusalem. This man has been through fiery trials repeatedly. Been through many testings. Such fiery trials are refining, purging many markings of sin and selfishness. You'd have to agree with that. When you go through the fires of life, it reveals your sin. It reveals your selfishness. That's a painful thing, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's not fun. I don't think anybody enjoys that. I had a conversation with my wife this week where she revealed my sin and selfishness. Ew, man, that hurt. I didn't like that. I didn't enjoy that. But it was true. I could not deny it. Not fun. Not a fun thing, but it was necessary. It's necessary to be refined by God's grace. Such fires also develop perseverance in the faith. When you go through the fires, you keep pressing on by the strength that God provides. And you realize God's got the grace to take me through this. Because when you look at the fiery trials, you go, how in the world am I going to survive that? And then when you get on the other side, you end up going, thank you, God, for giving me the ability to persevere and to hang in there, because I couldn't have done that. How many times have we wanted to just quit? I've wanted to hang it up many times. Haven't you? Just, you know what? Enough of this. Here we are. Persevering. Going through these refining trials repeatedly. Remaining steadfast under repeated challenges of affliction and hardship develops reliability. You can trust people who've been through the fires of affliction repeatedly. You can look at them and go, you know, yeah, they've been through it. I've seen it. I know they're faithful. And you know they're reliable. This unnamed man is that kind of person. There are many people like that in this church, watching you go through the fires of trial, persevering in them, and doing it repeatedly. You're reliable. When the heat is on, you know who you can depend on. Sustaining passion through affliction and hardship is evidence of resilient maturity. That's what God does. God gives us resilient maturity. And that's what we should see. When we see resilient maturity residing in the hearts of God's people, who should be praised? God. Because he's the one who carries us through this stuff. Don't succumb to this pressure of measuring yourself by other people. Realize God is the one who does this, and it's for his glory. He says, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. Hearing the positive response of the Corinthians to the challenges and admonitions Paul presented via his emissary Titus has made this man even more zealous about going to Corinth. He's heard that God is stirring up the heart of the Corinthians and he's excited. I want to go. I want to see that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I want to see God's activity. I want to see what God is doing. There's nothing wrong with being excited that good things are happening in the lives of other people. I think we should look at the lives of other people and seeing God doing good stuff and going, that's exciting. That's exciting. You know what we do in the flesh when we see that? well, why isn't that happening to me? No, we should be going, thank you, God. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being that reality. Man, we're going to shout and scream this afternoon, right? I hope we're shouting in good ways. But we should be even more excited about cheering our brothers and sisters on the faith when we see God's grace manifesting itself in their lives. Yes, God. Oh, way to go, God. We need that. Their brothers and sisters, at times in their weariness, need that. They need you as a brother or sister to come alongside them and say, come on, man, keep going. God's good. He's going to carry you through. And when he does, don't forget to come back and say, oh, wasn't God good? Wasn't God faithful? He's an amazing God. I would say a heavy dose of stick-to-itiveness and zealousness would do us all good, don't you think? Others-oriented hearts put the glory of Jesus on display, verse 23. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. As for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches. The glory of Christ. Again, folks, the glory of the Lord, the glory of Christ. It's just an incredible statement. Don't pass over that. That's just not speaking Christianese. He's saying these people are the glory of Christ. Wow, that's a big deal. This is what God is accomplishing in the hearts of his people. As for Titus, he's my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. Paul acknowledges Titus as a personal associate in the gospel ministry. As for the other brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. The other men have been appointed by other churches for accountability to express loving support for the believers in Jerusalem. To say they're the glory of Christ is to affirm their God-given purpose on this earth. Man, they're the glory of Christ. When was the last time you said that about somebody? Man, you are the glory of Christ. We kind of think, well, that I don't want to be irreverent. I mean, God's glorious. But see, if you're tuned in to the reality, this is God's grace, this is God's power, this is God's ability, then when you affirm that, it is the glory of Christ. We don't need bigger egos. No, 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 no. We don't need to have people saying, we as Christians, we don't need to be going around trying to say, I'm concerned about your self-esteem. You know what? They're concerned enough about their self-esteem. They don't need your help. What we need is to be making much of Jesus and his grace in the lives of his people. And when we see that, say, man, Jesus is shining beautifully on you. You are the glory of Christ. I think we need to learn how to say this and just mean it when we say it. It's here in the Bible. Paul is saying it repeatedly in this little section of Scripture. That should be significant to us. Take note of repeated things as you read the Bible. No greater affirmation of God's grace can be given to a human being than to say he or she is reflecting the brilliance of Jesus. That's far better than say, that was an amazing touchdown pass. That was an amazing run. Wow, what a tackle. No, man, you are showing Jesus beautifully. Thank you, God. I'm so privileged to be on your earth and to bear witness of your power and your might and your majesty in your people. Man, we need that kind of encouragement. Christ is literally made evident through their lives. The exaltation of Jesus through the lives of his people. Incredible thing. Amazing thing. A wonderful thing. It's the Lord's doing, and it ought to be marvelous in our eyes. When we see it happening, we should just marvel at it. It should be something we're just, yeah, wow, that was God, wasn't it? Thank you for putting God on display today, brother. Thank you for shining Jesus, sister. We ought to be doing this, affirming this. Agreed? We got to develop this discipline. Don't let this ping off of you. This is what God wants us here to do, and we should do it joyfully, right? Man, if you don't feel joyful, what should you do? Ask God to give you joy in the presence and power that He has on His earth. Seeing the glory of the Lord shining from others should be inspirational. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. Give proof to the churches of your love and our boasting about you to these men. Gospel-centered people don't just cheer the team. They aspire to be on the team. You want to be on the team? Paul is saying, here's these faithful men. Don't just cheer them. Be a part. Get involved. Get off the bench. Get in the game. This is what God's equipped us to do. Give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. Paul has affirmed the grace of God in these men and acknowledged them as shining lights of the glory of Jesus on earth. Paul wants to be able to say the same things about Corinth. Do you think God wants to be able to say the same things about you and I today? I do. I think He does. Paul has every hope that the love for others to the glory of Jesus will shine brilliantly from them. Why? Because he's seen the evidence of God's grace at work in their hearts. He's seen it. And he's seen it in Corinth. Do you get that? He's seen it in Corinth. A church that we would go, man, they got all kinds of problems. Yes, but they have Jesus. And Jesus is shining through their lives. And Paul is affirming that. We need Jesus shining in our lives. So here's some questions to consider. Will you ask God to give you and others a heart of love and service for the gospel? Come, folks, we're not here just to maintain time. We're not here just to do time on the earth and then eventually get to eternity. We're here to make much of Jesus. We're here to serve other people by the love that He gives us through the gospel. Another question. Are you lost in the brilliance of Jesus as you love and serve other people with gospel grace? Are you lost in the brilliance of Jesus? You know this to be the case when you serve, and it doesn't matter what people say about you. Your heart is about what people say about Jesus. That's how you know. Are you concerned about displaying openness that bears witness to a good character and a trustworthy reputation for you and others? You know, thank God for people who are comfortable in their own skin. But thank God more for people who are comfortable being a representation of Jesus Christ and are diligent about that reputation, honoring God with that reputation. Further, how would you rate your perseverance and zealousness? How would you rate your perseverance and your zealousness? Are you going through the hardships, trusting God? I'm not saying you're going, oh, good, more fun times through difficulties. I'm saying you keep your focus on the Lord, you press through and you say, God, you're able, you've promised, I believe you. And how about some zealousness? How about a little passion in life? Could we stand a dose? Well, what should we do if we're struggling in perseverance? What should we do if we're struggling in passionlessness? How about ask God to provide it? Don't ask Him to change your circumstances. Ask Him to change your focus. It's God who's going to do this, folks. It's not a matter of looking at ourselves and saying, well, if I were like them, I could do that better. If I were like them, I could make that accomplishment. If I were like them, I'd have, you know. No. You are who you are by God's design and wisdom. Trust him. His grace of perseverance, his grace of zealousness is there for you. It's there for the asking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, the door will be opened. Because God wants to glorify his name on the earth. Would people say that you are the glory of Christ? You say, oh no, not me. I'm not that kind of person. Well, you should be. You should say, I want people to see the glory of Christ in me, God. It's not about me, it's about you. Help me. Help me to become less, you to become more. God, I want you to be exalted in my life. Has God given you a heart to desire it? Do you want his brilliance to shine through you? Ask him for it. Folks, cheer on your team this afternoon. Be loud. Have fun. Seriously. Enjoy it. If you can't handle it, go mourn elsewhere. Right? But most of all, thank God that you're on Team Jesus. Thank God that he has given you a team of people where you can see his heart, his life. Thank God we are his people, called by his glory and goodness to accomplish his purpose on this earth. May God be with us. Get off the bench and trust the God who's enabled you to be a gospel servant for his glory. God, rain down upon your people the blessings of your power and your might. God, may our hearts and lives reflect the beauty of our Savior. May people who are around us for any length of time know that we love you. We love Jesus with our whole heart, and that your Spirit is powerful and abiding within us. God, may they know that we love your people, that we're concerned about one another in a way that makes your glory radiant. We need you, God. Come, come and bless us. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.